Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Who loves invitations? Man, invitations. Who just loves getting so many invitations? No? Who doesn't like it when they don't get an invite? How come I didn't get invited? But then you send out invitations, people take forever to respond. It's like, because there's so many invitations. And it's like, you just want to wait just to see if there's something else. It's true, isn't it? And then you commit to one invitation, another one comes, just, you know, invitations. There's just so many invitations these days. But today I want to talk to you about a fast invitation. A fast one. It's a fast invitation. You know, for some, you know, it might seem fast, but for some, this invitation came last week. You know, for some, you've known for the last few weeks that there is a fast. So this is not about the speed or the slowness or the response, but this is about a fast. Fasting. We're going to be fasting as a church from the 19th to the 26th of April. So some have had all of last week to pray into it. We talked about it at Team Advance. We had, you know, 50 plus people. Everyone brought food before we talked about fasting. It was amazing to see how much food there was. People had to take it back home because the gates of heaven opened and see if I would not give you more than enough. People had to take it home. But we learned about fasting on Wednesday. And so you've been thinking about it, praying into it. Today we're going to talk about a fast invitation. Because there's an invitation for all of us to fast together. But even if you're not going to take part in this for whatever reason, maybe today you're just visiting this church. Maybe you're not going to be around during that week. Just know what we're talking about today is not just limited to that week. This is also an invitation to do with our lives, our lifestyle, having times in our lives where we actually fast. But where do we look at this fasting? Where should we look? Nowhere else but the Word of God. So let's go to the book of Luke, Dr. Luke. We're going to look at chapter 4, 1 to 14. We see Jesus, you know, we don't get word that Jesus fasted at any point before this point. This is the point where we see Jesus fasting for the first time. He might have, I don't know, but it's not in the word. But this is the first time we hear of Jesus fasting. For those that got baptized last week, Jesus in this situation has just been baptized. The Father has just said, open up the heavens as his Son is getting baptized and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased with. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descends on him like a dove. He is full of the Spirit. And then the Word tells us that from that moment, he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he fasts 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know for you guys that got baptized, maybe you felt a bit of a wilderness, a bit of that this week. Sometimes we joke around, but sometimes it's real because when you've said to the world, to God, to the spiritual realm, I'm giving my life to God and I'm marked by his presence, things will come against you. So Jesus goes into this place, but he's actually led by the Spirit and he's fasting 40 days, 40 nights. Let's hear about it. It says in verse 1, it's all about the temptation of Jesus, this one. It's what it sort of covers, but let's hear it. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Who would be hungry after 40 days? I'd be hungry after 6 hours. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to him who I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem, he keeps trying, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written. Now he's telling us what's written. He's telling Jesus what's written. It's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. 40 days, 40 nights, didn't eat anything. He's being tempted and tried by the devil. He overcomes him with the word of God. And then we're told when the devil had tempted him with everything, he left him, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. That didn't mean he's not going to come back. He's going to try again. But this is where we hear about Jesus fasting. This is where we see Jesus fasting. Where do we see fasting today? 2026. In our world, in your neighborhood, in your life, at your work, in your church. Where do we see fasting today? 5-2. Anyone heard of 5-2 diet? Intermittent fasting. We see people do intermittent fasting. I've done 5-2. Didn't really enjoy it. We tried it for a bit back in the days, a few years back. 5-2, for 5 days you eat as per normal. 2 days of the week, you have 500 to 600 calories. So it's like 25% of what should be your daily intake. It's supposed to help with your health, supposed to help with your metabolism, supposed to help with weight loss. Fasting. People are doing it, intermittent fasting. 16-8. Who's heard of 16-8? You guys haven't heard about 16. Let me tell you about 16-8. So 16-8 is for 16 hours of the day, you don't eat nothing. Nothing. And then 8 hours of the day, you eat all the calories that you need. So let's say you don't eat until midday. And then between midday and 8 o'clock is when you eat. It's supposed to really help with your sleep. It's supposed to really help with your health, weight loss and all of that. So people are fasting for health reasons, for diet reasons, for appearance reasons. And they're all good reasons. In Islam, Ramadan, we've just heard about that happening recently. They fast. Is it for 40 days? Who knows how many days Ramadan is? How many? I can't remember how many. I think it's 40 or 30. The Jews, they have Yom Kippur. It's all around the Day of Atonement. They also fast. So there's fasting. People still do fasting. But we want to look at what does the word actually say about fasting? Because kid you not, there's many Christian churches who see Jesus fasting. And I've been part of it where fasting is not a thing. And fasting is not something where commander, you have to fast. It's an invitation. We get to fast. It's an invitation. You know, these days you think about fasting, people fast from their phones because we use our phones so much. Just need to put that thing away. Detox screens. People fast from social media. People fast from caffeine. How hard is that one? Fasting from coffee, man. Sugar, dessert. There's all these kinds of fasts, but as we come into this time of fasting, we actually want to say, Lord, what does your word say? Because this is our foundation. What does it say about fasting? When you look at the Bible, you look in the Old Testament, you see there's fasting. You look at the New Testament, you see there's fasting. In the Old Testament, you see that fasting is actually abstaining from food. You look at the New Testament, you see that fasting is going without food. It's not about social media. It's not about caffeine. It's not about all of that. It's about going without food. What is a fast and who fasted in the Bible? Think back to all your readings of the Bible. Think back to Sunday school. Who fasted? Moses fasted. But Moses did a supernatural fast. I don't encourage you to do Moses' one. He was on the mountain 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no drink. That's supernatural. Yes, we have the supernatural in us, but don't go doing that because you're not going to survive many days without water. That's Moses. David fasted. Daniel fasted. The Israelites fasted corporately. Esther fasted. The prophets fasted. The prophet Anna in the New Testament, it says in Luke 2:36 that she was fasting and worshiping day and night as she was waiting for the Savior to come. And then the Savior is brought into the temple. But she was fasting. We see Jesus fasting. We see Paul fasting. We see the apostles fasting. So we see fasting as part of the blueprint throughout the Word. And we want to live as the Word asks us to live. But you'll see when you look at the Word that the normal means of fasting in the Bible involves abstaining from all food, solid or liquid, but not from water. In 40 days, Jesus fasted. When we read what we read before in Luke chapter 4, it says in verse 2, 40 days being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. He says he ate nothing. When it ended, he was hungry. It doesn't say he was thirsty. He doesn't say he drank nothing. So we see the way Jesus fasted. It's not about comparing or anybody saying, how did Jesus do it? He went 40 days, 40 nights, and he still had water. But we see partial fasts, like Daniel. Who's heard of the Daniel fast? You know, Daniel went without delicacies. He went without meat. So that was a partial fast. And he talks about in Daniel 10 about a fast that he did for 3 weeks, for 21 days, going without meat, going without animal product. So there's partial fasts we see throughout the Bible. But then we see fasts like Esther. She actually did an absolute fast. No water, no food. No water, no food for 3 days. She just didn't do it by herself. She did it with the Jews because the Jews were in need. There was a crisis. She said, hey, I want to call a fast 3 days, 3 nights, no food, no drink, not just for the people, but also the animals had to fast. Imagine telling your dog you ain't having no food and no drink. There'll be a lot of barking and wailing. So fasting is actually saying no to food. Saying no to feasting. Saying no to feasting on food to saying yes to feasting on God. Saying, I'm saying no to food so I can say yes to more of God, more of His presence. Food is good. Who's getting hungry right now just talking about food? We won't put any pictures, but food is a good thing. But it's there to feed our flesh, to keep us healthy, to give us nutrition. But we see a pattern in the Bible where you actually starve your flesh so you can feed your spirit. Because there can be so many reasons why we just go to food without even thinking. It just meets a whole lot of needs. But God loves sometimes when we just come to Him and say, I'm actually going to say no to this so I can focus on You. So I can see how much I need You more than I need food. So fasting is saying no to food, to feasting, so you can feast on more of God. But why fast? Why do we do it? Why do we get to do it? Fasting refers to abstaining from food. Steve, you said that so many times already. I'm glad you're hearing it. Fasting refers to abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It's not just for health. It's actually for spiritual purposes. It's so that we can be more centered on Him. So we fast so we can be centered on God. So that everything we do, everything we think is coming from a place of being centered on Him. We come out of that center. Everything that we're doing is from that. And so when you fast, it just brings you back to that. Because we all stray in different ways day by day. And fasting is just one of the ways. It's not the only way. So why are we talking about all of this? This year we've been talking a lot about prayer. For from him and to him are all things. We depend on him. We need him. So we pray because everything is from him. Everything is for him. And everything is supposed to be to him. So we're a people of prayer, a house of prayer. We're like, we want to rise and pray. We want to rise out of our situations, not just see them through our own eyes, but actually pray, listen to him. We want to live lives poured out to him, lives of prayer. Well, guess what? Fasting is part of that. Fasting is part of prayer. It's part of growing in prayer. When we look at the Old Testament, why did they fast? They would fast in times of mourning, in times of grief. They would fast when they needed help. Petitioning for help. They would fast for repentance, saying, Lord, we got it wrong. God, we've walked away. God, we've just done our own thing for too long. We haven't focused on you. We've forgotten how you brought us out of slavery, how you saved us, how you brought us through the wilderness and provided for us, and you put us into the promised land, and now we think we got it made. We think this is our wealth. We've taken other people's ways. Lord, forgive us. So they would repent. We see prophets calling people to repentance. We see fasting throughout the Bible being used for pursuing wisdom, pursuing direction. If you need direction, if you need wisdom, yes, it's there. But there's something that happens when you go deeper and you say, God, I'm going to say no to the things of the flesh. And I just want to give time to you. Well, I'm going to fast. I'm going to focus on you. Because there's a big transition coming in my life. There's big decisions I need to make. There's stuff not going right. And I've tried everything else. But I just need you. So you see people fasting for all these different reasons. We see in the book of Acts, chapter 13, 1 to 3, we're told that the apostles and the prophets, they fasted and worshipped so that they could send out Barnabas and Paul. You know, it took worshipping and fasting for them to go, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, let's set these guys apart. Let's send them out. You see the apostles praying and fasting, Paul praying and fasting so that he could select and commission leaders of the churches. This is where we see fasting take place in the New Testament. Paul himself has an encounter with Jesus. He was known as Saul, persecuting the Christians. And he's going to go persecute more on the way to Damascus. He has this encounter with Jesus. He gets to see who Jesus is. No, he's for real. But out of that encounter, he goes blind and he's led to a place where for 3 days he ate nothing and drank nothing whilst he was waiting for direction, for God's word to come through Ananias. So we see fasting throughout the word of God. We see that Jesus did it. We see that Jesus taught about fasting. He taught about it. He just didn't do it, but he actually taught about fasting throughout the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Luke, who's the other guy in this? Mark, he's your son, isn't he? Yep. And what does Jesus say in that? He says, when you fast. He's talking to them. He's talking about the people that fast, the Pharisees, the Jews, John's disciples. He says, when you fast. So he's assuming and presuming, not even assuming, he knows it's a thing. It was a thing. So he teaches about it. Why do we fast? He's even asked Jesus by people. They say, hey, Jesus, how come your disciples, they don't fast? John's disciples fast. It's like, how come they're not fasting? Because when he was here, they weren't fasting. But Jesus says to them, hey, when you're at a wedding, do you fast when the bridegroom's there? He's there. You don't fast. He's like, no, you don't. But he says, when the bridegroom goes, he's talking about himself. He's the bridegroom. The church is the bride. He says, when the bridegroom's gone, he's saying, they don't need to fast right now because I'm here, I'm with them. But when I've gone, the bridegroom has gone, when he's gone to be with the Father, when we're waiting for him to come back, he says, on that day, then they will fast. Mark 2 verse 20 says, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. So yes, Jesus had fasted. He was fasting, but he was just explaining to them why his disciples weren't making it a thing. So now Jesus is not here with us in the flesh. We're still in that time. So this is the time to fast, to get closer, to move closer to him. Yes, he's here. But when we fast, we actually go deeper. It's physical hunger. It's not pleasant, is it? But when you get hungry physically and you start to translate that to your spiritual hunger, like, I'm so hungry, I need to eat. But God, your word says that man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. God, I'm hungry, but I'm going to come to you. When your hunger turns you to a place of being on your knees and being in the word, God actually comes and sustains you in that time. In that time, you're actually saying, God, I humble myself. I am weak. His word says, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. So we fast to actually humble ourselves and say, God, I need you. Because it brings everything to the surface when you fast. Yeah. All the things you really want to do, you really want to say. Because when you're fasting, you can't just do all the same stuff. Yes, you still get to work. And then you got to think about how that works with your fast. But still, it's going to cost you. And as you're doing that, things come to the surface. But God actually fills you up with his spirit when you're fasting. Even more. Because you think, God, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for food. But right now, God, I'm going to ignore that because I sense I've heard from you to fast in this time. So I'm coming to you. His word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied, they will be filled. He's going to come and meet you in that time. If you fast the way Jesus did, see, Jesus had the word coming out of him. So when you're fasting, you've got to be putting the word in. If you just fast and you still do all the same stuff and you don't pray, you don't read the word, you're not going to get anywhere with it. It's just going to be like a 5-2 or 16-8. So it's an act of humility. And the word talks about grace for the humble. It says he gives more grace to the humble. So when you say, I'm going to fast, I'm humbling myself, he gives you grace for it. None of us are that special. That we can, oh man, I fasted for 4 days. I should have seen, I didn't eat anything. God will humble you real quickly. It'll be like day one. And but he actually gives you grace when you focus on him. Willpower will only take you so far. You know, you could probably fast for an amount of days if it's not involving God with your willpower. But if you're trying to fast for God, and then you don't do what he's wanting you to do, then the enemy's like, let's see where you're going to get to. And you won't get far. But he actually graces you. He gives you a greater measure of his power. Think about it. Jesus' disciples in Mark 9, they see this dad with his son. He's got some infirmity. He's got a demon. He needs to be set free. They try to cast this thing out, and it's not happening. Jesus comes. And he cast it out like that. Then they say, Jesus, how come we couldn't cast it out? And Jesus says, hey, these ones, they only come out by P&F. They're like, what? P&F? He's like, yeah. Prayer and fasting. Like, oh, yeah. But he says they only come out by prayer and fasting. So there's got to be a greater measure of Holy Spirit power that comes when you pray and fast. There's got to be freedom that comes. There's got to be clarity that comes when you pray and fast. I don't like fasting. I don't. I'm like, ugh. But I'm growing to like it. Maybe it's because it's been killing me. And God keeps trying to get my attention. And I can't keep ignoring it because I can only go so far without Him. So the relationship with fasting is getting a little bit better. But I never want to get to the point where it's easy. So it's got to cost you. It's got to cost you fasting. Historians actually tell us that in the early church, people used to fast twice a week, Wednesday and Friday. They would fast. It was a lifestyle. We hear of great revivalists like Charles Finney, who was a powerful preacher. He would preach so much, so boldly, would cut to people's hearts. But when he would feel like his preaching is diminishing, he would be like, man, I'm going to fast. And he would fast for several days. To the point that we're told that in the 1857 revival in New York, 500,000 people were saved in an eight-week period. That can only be God. That can only be God. Fasting is a tool. Fasting is a weapon that Jesus has given us. So there's a connection between prayer and fasting. There's a connection between prayer and fasting with the measure of God's power that we can actually move in, walk in. This is a fast invitation that is coming from our Lord in the Word. But what are the things that would stop you and I from fasting? What stopped me from fasting at different times? Because it costs you. It costs me to fast. It actually costs. It's painful. That in itself would stop you from wanting to fast. Lack of knowledge, not knowing about it, could be an obstacle to fasting. But we're dealing with that obstacle, aren't we? You're hearing about it all week. You're going to be thinking about it all week. We're going to talk about it in life group this week. Yes, come to life group. Don't say I'm not coming because they're talking about fasting again. But ignorance and lack of knowledge can be an obstacle to actually fasting, but it's all in the Word. Fasting is inconvenient. It's going to be inconvenient. But do you think we signed up to being comfortable? We didn't sign up for that. I said goodbye to the comfort zone a few years back. And sometimes God has to remind me again. And the good thing is we have the comforter. Why would we need the comforter if we're comfortable? You don't need him when you're comfortable. But when you're uncomfortable, you're living a life that is led by him, you're going to call on the Holy Spirit. Obstacles to fasting. Just not wanting to go deeper. If you just don't have a desire to go deeper, you won't even get the sense that there's got to be more, Lord. What do I need to do to be more in tune with you? Or maybe you actually know you've done it before and it brought up so much stuff. It was tiring because when you fast, it brings things to the surface. Things start to bubble up. The anxiety, the fear, the irritation, the anger, those things come up, especially when you're not eating. Those things come. Then you got to start dealing with, where is this coming from? God just starts to show you stuff. He starts to do heart surgery on you. So if you don't want heart surgery, then you're not going to want to fast. Because imagine, you can't eat, you can't cook. So what are you going to do? Just hang out with the Lord. Amen. Just hang out with the Lord. God, I want to see how you see. Well, let's talk about that. He starts to tell you all in love. And sometimes we don't want to deal with that. But just as you give him space, he is loving. He is gentle. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to equip you. He's going to speak to you. Obstacles to fasting. Reasons why maybe we might not be able to. Our health. We might have different health conditions. And we don't have to see that as an obstacle. But it's actually, Lord, how can I fast in this situation? Maybe I don't fast. Maybe I do fast other things. Maybe I do the sugar fast. Maybe I do the Daniel's fast. But I would say we all need to, if we have health conditions, see a doctor before you choose to do any crazy fasts. All fasting is crazy. It is. Why would you go for days without food? Like, that's crazy. But Talk to a doctor if you're not sure about it. It's going to cost you. But there's ways. God's so good. He'll give us ways. So we could just go, oh, my health, and just leave it there and just never look into it. But actually, Lord, with my health, you know my health, what is it that I can do? Maybe it's one meal for the whole thing that you're not going to eat. You're just not going to eat one meal in 7 days. Or maybe it's going to be, you're going to fast one meal per day. Whatever it is, it's up to you. But go to God about it. An obstacle to fasting, lack of planning. That's why we want to give you time. It's not a fast invitation. It's nice and slow. You've got time. You've got weeks. You've had weeks to think about it. 1 week so far. Then there's one other week coming. But you look at your calendar from the 19th to the 26th. What is happening? I want to tell you, even if things are not in your calendar, they're going to pop up. Yes. They're going to pop up. Yeah. When I was in boarding school, Saturdays was a good day. It's a good little Christian boy. They called me the Rev. We got sport on Saturday, and I've decided today I'm fasting. We go play our rugby. Coming back, everyone's going to lunch, and I know I'm just going to sit at lunch quietly. I'm not going to say I'm fasting because it's a private thing, this kind of fast. But I hear that there's chicken for lunch. Guys, I don't know. Maybe it's an African thing. But when there was rice and chicken for lunch, that fast had to change. It changed. But ever since then, I just know stuff's going to come up. So if God's going to give me a time, I've just got to push through because things will keep coming up that are going to make me not want to fast. So you got to plan it. You got to put it in the calendar. If you got family, talk to your family. Talk to your kids. Talk to your wife. How are we going to do this together? Because for parents, you still got to cook. You still got to smell that food. And you're still going to try taste it. So you got to plan it in. But one thing we've got to remember is actually we're not to use fasting to get God to do what we want Him to do. It's not what fasting is for. Fasting is about aligning our hearts with His heart, hearing what He wants. You know, He has so many secrets, so many things He has not even revealed to you yet that He's just waiting for you to just be with Him, to show you. But He also just wants to enjoy just being with you. You could come out of the 7 days feeling like you've had nothing. But God's like, but you've had me. He just wants to be with you. The fasting invitation. So how and when do we fast? We've talked about a lot of this already. It's not just about the week that we're talking about. It's actually about you and God. This is about your relationship with God. We get to have this week, but like I said, you might not even be from this church, but I know God's speaking to you still because He wants you to get closer. He wants for you to hear Him louder. So as God leads you, you fast. In Matthew, let's just go quickly to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Jesus is talking about fasting. He says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He's talking about the private fast. As God leads you to fast, you don't have to tell the whole world about it. At work, oh, I'm just fasting, so, you know. You don't have to do all of that. Unless you feel God leading you as a moment to share your faith. So when do you fast? There's private fasts where you don't need to tell anyone. Maybe tell your wife or your husband because it'll be a bit weird. Like, how come you're not eating? But what we're doing here for that week is a corporate fast. You see that in the Word. When communities, groups, churches, tribes get together to fast. a corporate fast. You can also fast just as part of your lifestyle. Yeah, for many years, God just keeps inviting me to fast weekly, one day. And I've always been like this. It'll start and then it'll go. But God keeps nudging. And I've seen this year as I've done that, I've seen the difference it makes. It just re-centers you, refocuses you. There's so much noise around us. There's so many voices. There's so much work to do for all these things. But when you just go, today, God, even whilst I'm working, I'm going to replace my meal prep time, my eating time, to just being with you. It does wonders. And then when you go to try to preach or get a sermon or pray for someone or plan something, He's the one speaking to you. He's the one influencing you. So it can be a lifestyle. How do we fast? It's got to be with prayer and with the word. We can't fast without this. So as we do that for 7 days, we're going to grow in the word. We're going to grow in our own personal devotion. We're going to grow in our prayer life. Because you'll be replacing your meal time, your eating time, your prep time with the word, with prayer, and having extended times of that. So you need that. And God will lead you into more time of prayer or more time of being in the word. But you start with that. That's why you fast. Because there's times I've done the Daniel fast I was sharing the other day. Then I've gone and bought all this stuff. I've got the Daniel's fast recipe book. And I've spent time in the supermarket working out all the good stuff. Then I've gone home spending 2-3 hours trying to cook. And then by the end of it, I'm like, tastes all right. But I haven't spent much time with God. If you're going to do the Daniel fast, just keep it simple. We need the word. That's what sustains us. One of the things we'll be doing as a church over that 7 days is we're actually going to create at least an hour every one of those days here to meet at church. We'll confirm the times to just be together and pray. And whoever can make that time, come and join in. Just to have a space on each one of those days to just come and pray. We'll have our prayer power night, Wednesday night. So there's going to be opportunities to pray. But I encourage you, talk to someone over the week. What are you going to be fasting at Life Group? What are you fasting? And then be praying together. Have people you can encourage. But as you fast, I don't know what your history with fasting is. Start small. Don't try to go crazy. Don't be like, I've never fasted before and I'm just going to do the whole 7 days, no food. Up to you, but I'm just saying, it's not about that. It's not about who fasted the most, who did this. It's just about the heart posture. Lord, I actually want to say no to food so I can say yes to more of you. And you know, maybe for some of you, you've already been doing intermittent fasting as just as a thing that you do with prayer. But maybe the Lord's inviting you for 3 days to actually not eat. Whatever it is, ask Him. He will tell you. And in a corporate fast, make sure you talk to others about it so you can encourage one another, because none of us can do it by ourselves. You got to prepare for it. If you love coffee, you're going to get headaches. So maybe start weaning off the coffee days before the 19th. You know, watch what your last meal is. Just keep it simple. Just have some fruit and veggies. Start small. Prepare yourself. And then as you come out of the fast too, don't just go and just like, bang, 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 just eat everything. You're going to feel really sick. I'm talking from experience. Because I'm like, man, I've been empty, now I can be full again.
Constipation ain't a good thing.
So yeah, just keep it simple. Gradual entry, gradual exit. But end of the day, as the worship team comes up, end of the day, we all have relationships with the Lord. And there's an invitation to go deeper in your relationship with God. He wants to speak to you more. He loves spending time with you. Sacrifice. How good is it when a friend sacrifices time for you, something for you? You appreciate that so much. You know, God's sacrificed everything in Jesus Christ. He's done His part. But He loves it when you and I sacrifice ourselves, living sacrifice, say, God, I just want you. To even come to fasting with no agenda, but just Him. So for some of you, maybe you do have some big decisions to make, and you're like, wow, this fast has fallen at a good time. Well, it has. God knows what decisions you need to make. He knows the transitions that are in your life. You know, as we fast over this, that week, we want to be praying for Pneuma Church, for our 8 locations. We want to pray specially into the senior pastor selection process. We heard from Pastor Wayne via video the other week that they're going through the process of interviewing, selecting a senior pastor. You know, this is God's church. He's faithful. And we want to pray that God will be at the center of that process, and that whoever the Lord wants to lead the church, not for the next year, not for the next 2 years, no. You know, for the next season, the next era, the leaders that He has for this church would come in through the power of prayer. We want to pray for that. We want to pray for salvations. You know, when Jesus was on this earth, He said, I've come to seek and save the lost. That's His heart. We want to be praying that we'll see people saved in this room. We will be seeing people saved throughout the week in the foyer when the Salvation Army is doing what they do, great work throughout the week. That people will get saved in your neighborhood, in your extended families. That all around us, we're sharing our faith with boldness and we're seeing people get saved. We want to pray for couples over that time that we know in our church, in our families, that are struggling to have children. So hard. There's people who have been trying for years and God is able. He is able. But sometimes it takes a group of people saying, we're going to fast for this. We're going to find out who those people are. And I'm going to, as you're fasting, you're praying for them. You're praying for them. You're saying their names, Lord, open up that womb. Lord, do whatever needs to happen for those babies to come. The Lord responds to our prayers. He responds to your prayers. We're not just fasting just for the sake of it. But you know, we're told that when Jesus went into that place, it says He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. But it says when He returned from it, He moved in the power of the Spirit. So He went full, but when He came out of the fasting, when He came out of the tempting, overcoming the enemy, He started to move in the power of the Spirit. He hadn't done ministry before that. He started to minister. This is the power of fasting. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. That when we come into this space, whether you do it individually, whether you do it corporately, our prayer in that 7 days is that we would be a people who would move in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.